The reading is taken from Zechariah chapter 4 and its verses 1 through 14. The gold lampstand and the two olive trees. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up, like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground." Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, "God bless it, God bless it." Then the word of the Lord came to me. "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel?" Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" Again I asked him, "What are these two olive branches besides the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil?" He replied, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I said. So he said, "These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth." That is the end of the reading.
Good morning. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Lego Masters. It's a bit like a bake-off style competition, where teams compete to build the most creative, impressive Lego structures they can. And some of the things you can build with Lego bricks are pretty impressive. Did you know that the tallest Lego tower that's been built is taller than the actual Eiffel Tower? Anyway, inspired by all this, I thought I'd have a go. Unfortunately, we don't have any Lego at home, so I've had to make do with Duplo and a toddler constantly taking the pieces and breaking it apart. Anyway, after minutes of hard effort, look what I've made. I think we can all agree that the construction and structural integrity is pretty impressive. Well, maybe not. It's actually pretty feeble, isn't it? Especially compared to those other amazing Lego structures. Do you ever get that sort of sense about something you've been building? You're working hard on it, but it's all a bit feeble, small, insignificant. And what about when it comes to building God's kingdom? I wonder if you ever feel that your work for God seems pretty feeble or insignificant. Your service for him seems like maybe it doesn't really make much of a difference. Life as a Christian is pretty tough at times, and your efforts to build God's kingdom are ineffective and ignored. Maybe you spend ages preparing a Bible study that no one turns up to. Maybe you've been faithfully cleaning the church building only to hear a complaint about you never getting involved in gospel ministry. Maybe you've helped with the children or youth work, only to see them leave the church and turn their back on Christ. It's too hard, there are too many obstacles, and you've run out of steam. Why keep going? Well, these are probably the sorts of feelings shared by the Israelites at the time of Zechariah. We heard in verse 10 of our passage today about this day of small things, times when the Israelites must have felt that their work for God was feeble and insignificant, ignored by the nations around them, and ineffective. But we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. Let me recap to where we've gotten to so far. Hopefully you're aware by now that we've been working through these first four chapters of Zechariah throughout the month of June. And, thankfully, you might be thinking, we're on to the last one today. And just to recap what the situation is and what we've seen so far. Zechariah is speaking to the Israelite nation who have returned from many years in exile. 3 weeks ago, we heard God's key message to those people. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. It was a call to return wholeheartedly to God in all areas of life. 2 weeks ago, we saw that God will restore his people. He sees, he acts, and he will return. And last week, we saw that God will remove his people's sin. Remember, there was a vision of filthy clothes removed and replaced with fine, clean garments. But I guess with an incomplete temple, it doesn't feel like God has returned or restored his people yet. God gave the leaders of the nation a command. It was to rebuild the temple. You can read about it in the book of Haggai, which comes just before Zechariah in your Bibles. And they started this rebuilding with great enthusiasm. But it's hard, and there are many obstacles in their way. So it stalled. Now at the time, there were two main leaders of the people of Israel. There was Joshua, the high priest, who we met last time, and Zerubbabel, the governor, a sort of prime minister, who we encounter in today's passage. We also know that Zerubbabel was descended from King David, and was probably the closest thing they had to a king at the time. Phew, well, let's dive back into the passage and have a look at it a bit more closely. If you do have your Bibles in front of you, please do turn back with me to Zechariah chapter 4. And the key point for this week is this. God will finish the work. We get a vision of a lampstand, solid gold with a bowl at the top and seven lamps attached, each one with seven channels. And there are two olive trees, one either side of the bowl. What does this all mean? Well, Zechariah at least seems to be confused about what the olive trees are about. So he asks about it for the first time in verse 4. He doesn't seem to ask about the lampstand, maybe because it was obvious to him. In the Bible, lampstands normally represent God's people. And this one is some sort of like super menorah, with seven lots of seven candles here, representing the entirety of God's people, who provide his light to the world. But God doesn't seem to be interested in explaining what the olive trees are about just yet. Instead, he makes it clear that the temple will be finished, but it will be done by God. God will finish the work. Look at what he says in verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It's not going to be Zerubbabel's or the Israelites' effort alone that will get the job done, but God's spirit will help them. Verse 7, who are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. the obstacles or other difficulties they've had in rebuilding will be removed and dealt with. God will finish the work. What a great encouragement to the Jewish nation. He continues, verse 10. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel? The people must have felt like they were living in a day of small things, times when their work for God seemed insignificant and ineffective. But God sees completely. We've got this number 7 again. And there will come a day when the work will be complete. The temple will be finished. And God will rejoice over the work. I don't know if you feel like you are living in a day of small things. But if so, remember that God will finish the work. And it will be by his Spirit, not by our might or power. It may seem small and insignificant, but it will be glorious at the end. Don't despise it. Others may look at what you're doing and look down on it. They might sneer or belittle your efforts. But God's work will be accomplished, and he rejoices in your contribution. But you might be thinking, you still haven't answered the question about what those two olive trees are, either side of this golden lampstand. Well, don't worry, Zechariah is still puzzled too. And so he asks, twice more. You see, verses 11 and 12. What are these two olive trees? We see that they are connected to the lamp, and they are providing the oil that keeps the lamps alight. The whole passage seems to build up to the answer that we finally get in verse 14. These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Two anointed ones. Most commentators interpret them as the two leaders of the nation at that time. Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the governor, descendant of King David. Now, those two roles, priest and king, both involved being anointed. But we know of a later anointed one, or Messiah. It's Jesus, who wonderfully combines both anointed roles. Jesus is our great high priest, who gives us righteousness through his sacrifice of himself. And Jesus is the King of Kings, who will reign on David's throne forever with justice and mercy. So I think this vision looks forward to Jesus as the one who provides the fuel for his people to live as lights in the world and do God's work. God will finish the work. If you're feeling discouraged or that your work for God seems feeble, well, take heart. Don't trust in your own strength or energy, but depend on God's Spirit. Shine as a light for God in his world. And remember that Jesus is the one who provides the fuel. And so keep going. I don't know what you're putting effort into building, but if it's God's kingdom, then remember that he sees and he rejoices, no matter how small or feeble your contribution feels. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you will accomplish your work and that you rejoice to use us. Help us to remember that it is Jesus that fuels us. and may we depend on him as we seek to live for you. Amen.